the fourth chapter of Galatians. And I'll tell you later what the Lord was speaking to me. The 21st verse. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. And he who is of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, and he of the free woman was by promise. Now, I want to stop right there just for a second. Either refresh your minds or see what's in your minds. Who was the two sons of Abraham? Isaac and Ishmael that are spoken of here. Abraham later had six more sons, actually, after the death of Sarah. But the two that are Isaac and Ishmael that are here. And who are the two women? The free woman and the bondwoman. Sarah and Hagar. Sarah was which one? The free woman. And Hagar was the bondwoman. It was actually the servant to Sarah. And you know the story. How many of you know the story of how that Ishmael came to be born? Because Sarah was a barren woman and couldn't bear children to Abraham. And Abraham was actually about 85 years of age at the time when Sarah told him, said, take my bondmaid and let her conceive your child. And he did that at about 85 years of age. Isn't that amazing? But Abraham was my age when he first started hearing from God and came down out of Haran in obedience to God. And God began to deal with him and to bless him. But he lived another 100 years after he's my age. So I'm not going to go any further with that illustration by any means. But the Scripture says that he who is of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, and he that of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. And an allegory means it is going to use these two women and these two sons to represent something else, to bring a truth, a gospel truth to the people. These people of Galatians, who incidentally was the church that was going back or going into the law to be circumcised and to obey the law of Moses, keep all the feast days and holy days and all of those things. And he's trying to turn them from that. So he's given an allegory about Sarah and Hagar and Isaac and Ishmael. He said, these things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Hagar. And so here he takes Hagar, the bondwoman, and he says she represents the covenant from Sinai. And it's actually speaking about the law of Moses that began to be given at Sinai after that the people had rejected God and his words. But he said Hagar represents a covenant, the first from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is. And he's talking about the natural city of Jerusalem in the days of the Apostle Paul, and with the natural Jews there that had rejected Christ and were not believers. He said, not only does Hagar represent the old covenant that gendereth to bondage, but she also represents Jerusalem that now is and is in bondage with her children. And so the natural Jew, in Paul's analogy, is represented by what in this allegory? Did anybody pick up on that yet? Ishmael. Now, if we were making an allegory, we would say, well, Ishmael's the Arabs and Isaac is the Jews. That's what we would do today. That'd be the common thought today. But the Apostle Paul is not doing that. He's saying that the natural Jew is Ishmael. I mean, it's very clear in this allegory that the natural Jew is Ishmael, because Hagar is Jerusalem that now is and is in bondage with her children, which is the natural Jew. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free. Now that represents Sarah. Or Sarah represents the Jerusalem which is above, which is free, which is the mother of us all. And so in this allegory, Sarah becomes the mother of those that believe, the children of God and those that believe, the mother of us all. Well, in the allegory, he goes on and he says, "For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, and break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." And he's speaking now about those that are born of God. The believer, the child of God, those that are born of God, whether they're Gentile or Jew, whichever they are, it doesn't matter. But that one that's born of God, that is the believer, he said, "We are the children of promise." We're the results of promise and not of works. The Scripture tells us that salvation is by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. For by grace are we saved. And so salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast and so forth. But he says, we as Isaac are the children of promise, and we are. We're the result of a promise. We're not the results of fleshly abilities, our ability to do anything. If we're born of God, it wasn't our doing that did it. It absolutely, we're a product of grace, the grace of God. And so he says, we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. He's speaking about Ishmael. When Ishmael was about 13 years of age, when Isaac was born. But about the time before Isaac was even weaned, Ishmael was then about 15 or 16 years of age. But he was making fun and mocking little Isaac and picking at him and making fun. And certainly that upset Sarah. And she went to Abraham, she said, "Abraham, the child of the bondwoman shall not inherit with the child of the free woman." That's what she told him. She said, "Put away from you the bondwoman and her child, because that child is not going to have an inheritance with Isaac." And Abraham pled for Ishmael at this point. And yet, God told him, said, "Put them away. Put them away. Send them away." He said, he would care for them. He'd make a great nation of Ishmael also. But nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast away the bondwoman and her son. Now, this is pretty amazing again. You know, when we follow the allegory, and I'm going to follow it. I'm going to be faithful to the allegory. Because, as we said, that the children of the Jerusalem now is relates to the child of the bondwoman, Ishmael, or Ishmael relates to the natural Jew. And those that are born of God are the children of promise, relating to the children of Sarah, who's the mother of us all. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Who's the bondwoman? Somebody say it again. Who's the bondwoman? Jerusalem that now is. Jerusalem that now is the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman, the natural Jew, shall not be heir with the son of the free woman, which is the new Jerusalem, the Jerusalem which is above. Now this is not, believe me again, this is not anti-Semitic, anti-Jew, or any such thing. But it's simply telling us this, that the natural Jew is not saved. A Jew is not saved by keeping the law. A Jew is not saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. It's amazing how many ministries to date within the church believe that a Jew has a different covenant than we have, but they don't. When God promised a new covenant, He said, "I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel." Praise God. And the covenant was promised to that Jew. And we came into it only because they refused it. And the gospel was preached also to the Gentile. But there is no other covenant for anybody to be saved other than that covenant of grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way of salvation for any. And so he said, cast out the bondwoman and her son. That doesn't mean don't support Israel. That doesn't mean don't defend Israel by any means. But don't be deceived by the idea that they are saved without Christ. Because they're not saved without Christ. They're lost without Christ. Just like every one of us without Christ would be or are lost without Christ. We must have Christ if we're to be saved. Now, in this allegory, seeing that Hagar represents the law, the old covenant, Sarah represents grace, the new covenant. Can you see that? Hagar represents Jerusalem now is. It's under the law, in bondage with her and her children. And Sarah represents the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. So Hagar represents the law and the natural Jerusalem. Sarah represents grace and the heavenly Jerusalem, the mother of us all. Before going through all these things, not even thinking about this scripture, what I began to hear yesterday, and I don't know what brought it on. I mean, I can be working, but I wasn't working out in the fields or projects yesterday. But I can be working, and the Spirit of the Lord began talking to me about things that's happened for 50 years now, that's happened throughout my ministry. But I began to hear something I'd never heard before in my life. And what I heard was this: grace is a barren woman. That grace is a barren woman. And how on earth does that fit with the things that I've just raised? Except for Sarah, the barren woman, in the allegory represented grace, while Hagar represented law, and Sarah, the barren woman, represented the Jerusalem, which is above, which is the mother of us all, but she's a barren woman. This is where my mind, when the Lord began speaking that to me, it came to this allegory when the Lord is speaking those words. Grace is a barren woman. So I begin to consider, once again, all the things that's spoken in this allegory. We go all the way back to the 17th chapter of Genesis for just a little bit tonight. And the scripture says in the 17th chapter that God had came to Abraham and making a covenant between me and thee, and I'll multiply thee exceedingly, and so on, and you'll be the father of many nations, and you won't be called Abram anymore, but your name should be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. I'll make thee exceeding fruitful. All that God is speaking. And I'll establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and a seed after thee. And all this is wonderful with Abraham until in the 17th chapter and the 15th verse. And God says to Abraham, as for Sarah, Sariah, it's called here, I believe, or Sarai, I don't know how to say it, but it's a difference between what it is here, what it's going to be. And he says, as for Sariah, that wife, thou shalt not call her Sariah, but Sarah shall her name be. And Sarah means the princess. Now here's a 90-year-old woman that has been basically discarded 13 years ago because she can't give an heir to Abraham, and he's married a slave girl and raised Ishmael for 13 years, preparing him to be the heir, the son of promise, Abraham thought. But God, when Abraham's 99 years old and Sarah is 90 years of age, he says, as for Sarah, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sariah, but Sarah, princess, shall her name be. And I'll bless her and give thee a son of her also. Yea, I'll bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And everything is fine. Well, God is pronouncing all these blessings and covenant blessings on Abraham. But when he starts speaking such things about Sariah, oh, no, no, no. The scripture says, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He laughed at God. He laughed at God. What are you talking about, God? Sarah have a child. She's been barren all of her life. She's 90 years of age. She's past the time of bearing children. And I'm 99. It's beyond my time of bearing children. What are you talking about? And Abraham fell on his face and laughed in his heart. Shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And before we learn grace, we're going to have to get tired of works. Before we learn grace, we're going to have to understand how totally that God rejects works. Because that's what Ishmael is. Ishmael is a product of Abraham's ability and reason and thought processes, and I can work it out this way, and this is the way I'll do it. I'll have my son. I'll have my heir. God's promised me a son that would be of my own loins. Now, I believe it's over in, what, the 15th chapter of Genesis, before this time, that thy heir shall be out of thine own loins. But Sarah couldn't produce it. And so he devises a way that he can produce a child by the slave girl Hagar. And Ishmael's born, and Abraham works with him. Remember, Hagar had a dream before Ishmael was born that there's a wild man in her. A wild man whose hand would be against every man. And that was a dream of the future, not only of Ishmael, but especially of his descendants. Ishmael actually was a pretty good man, but his descendants would show to be that wild man. And so it is today, the warfare between the sons of Abraham today, you know, over the land of Israel over there. And so Abraham has invested 13 years in training this boy and grooming him and preparing him for the day that he'll have it all. He'll be the heir. And then when he's about 13 years of age, God tells him, Sarah's going to have a son. And he's begging for Ishmael. He's begging, pleading for Ishmael. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. That you'd accept Ishmael. But see, God will never accept our works and our labors toward salvation or toward even the promise of God. You can't buy anything from God. You can't buy a healing. You can't buy a miracle. You can't buy anything from God. You can't do it. And certainly I've been guilty in years past of trying to fast enough that God would have to do a certain thing. And amazingly, every time I'd get myself to fast and seek God, He would do miracles, but He never did what I was fasting for. He never did the thing I was trying to buy from Him. The thing I thought, you've got to do this for me, because after all, look what I'm doing for you. I'm seeking you. I'm seeking you diligently, continually. You cannot do that. You can't force the hand of God. You simply can't do it, because grace is a barren woman. And I'm going to say that until I understand it, and until you understand it. And I do understand it, but I'm seeking words now then to express it, that grace is a barren woman, because there's nothing about grace in Hagar. She was works. She was bondage. She could produce it with Abraham's help in the flesh. They could produce a son, and they could have produced a lot more of them. But it's unacceptable to God. Absolutely unacceptable to God. And so he tells them, Sarah's going to bring forth a child. And the impossibility just hits Abraham right in the face. You know, how can this be? God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. Thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I'll establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I've heard thee. Behold, I've blessed him. Will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee.
at this set time next year. And then later, three men from the Lord, angels of the Lord, came to Abraham, and sometime later, don't know just exactly when, but they start talking to Abraham about this child that's going to be born to Sarah. And I don't suppose Abraham said anything to her about it, because she's listening behind the tent door. She's kind of eavesdropping behind the tent door and overhearing what they're talking to Abraham about. And in the ninth verse of the 18th chapter, they said unto Abraham, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" He said, "Behold, in the tent." He said, "I'll certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I of surety have a child which am old?' And is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I'll return to thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah denied, saying, "I didn't laugh," because she's afraid. And he said, "You know, you did laugh." Well, I just had to read that. Praise God. You did laugh. But here's old Abraham laughing at the thought that he's going to bear a son and Sarah is going to produce that son. And here's Sarah, and she's laughing at the ridiculousness of such a thought. It'd be like God coming to Christine and saying, "You're going to bear a son." She'd laugh him out of the house. Some of you would. You know what I'm talking about? The impossibility of it. The absolute impossibility of it. But then we come over to the fourth chapter of Romans in the 16th verse. "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace." Now grace is that barren woman. "To the end the promise might be sure to all seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, 'I've made thee a father of many nations,' before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, 'So shall thy seed be.' Being not weak in faith, Abraham considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." You know, I heard the faith teachers a few years ago, probably 25, 30 years ago actually, but they're teaching from this text that, oh, he didn't consider his body dead. He's confessing, "My body's alive. My body's alive." And he didn't consider Sarah's womb dead. He went around saying, "Sarah's womb's alive. Sarah's womb is alive." And that's what confession is. That's what's called calling things that are not as though they were. And it's foolishness if you're doing it and not God. Now, when God called things that were not as though they were, he told Abraham, "So shall thy seed be." And then he told him at the time of telling him about the birth of Isaac, he said, "Abraham, I have made thee a father of many nations. I have." And he's only got a 13-year-old boy. But God said, "I have made thee." He put it in a past tense. "I have." See, God is calling things that are not as though they were. God can do that, and you'll have it if you'll believe it. But if you won't believe it, it'll never happen. Because it is by grace. It's not by Abraham's abilities that it's going to happen. It's not by his works that it's going to happen. It's going to happen by grace. And that wife, Sarah, the barren woman, 90 years of age, came to represent the grace of God in the New Covenant analogy. The grace of God. And so Abraham, the Scripture says, he being not weak in faith, considered not his own body now dead. His body was dead. He knew it was dead, but he didn't consider his body. He considered the promise. You see, there's a difference. Because as long as you consider the dead body, then you're going to consider the impossibilities. But when you begin to consider the promise, everything changes when you begin to consider the promise. And so he did not consider his body now dead when he's about 100 years of it. The Bible said it was now dead. Now dead. And neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Her womb was dead. It was dead. But he didn't consider Sarah and the dead womb. He considered the promise. And then, 20th verse, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. People today don't stagger at circumstances. They learn how to live with them. They don't stagger at problems. They learn how to live with them. What they stagger at is the promise of God. Abraham didn't stagger at Sarah's dead womb. When he was 85 years old and wanting a child, he found a way to have a child. He didn't stagger. He worked around it. And see, people don't stagger at problems. They either live with them or work around them or something. But when it comes down to the promise of God, that's where people stagger. That's where they stagger. But Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. Isn't that something? Praise God. And that indicates to us that it's common for people to stagger the promise and work with the problem. Work out the problem, but stagger the promise. And what a mess we make when we do, as the children of God most especially. What a mess we make of things. But he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Precious Savior, grace is a barren woman. We're going to come to what that means in just a little bit, if you don't see it before then. In Exodus, the 6th chapter, Moses has been sent to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. They're in bondage. And God told him what to say to the children of Israel. 5th verse, "And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage." You know, we were speaking about those three groans the other day. And God didn't pay no attention to Moses' groanings. He listened to the groanings of the slaves. Moses is groaning about having to go. You know? But God was tuned in on the groanings of the slaves and those that was in bondage under the cruel hand of Pharaoh. And God's groan wasn't with Moses. God's groan was with them. I want you to see that in connection with the three groans that Keith preached about a few weeks ago. "And I've heard their groanings. I've heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. I've remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm under the great judgments. I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you for a God. Ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I'll bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it you for an inheritance. I am the Lord." So Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not to Moses for anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. Now, the New Testament has something to say about this very event that day. But what Moses preached to them was grace. What Moses preached to them was gospel. And it was grace. And someone said, why? Why, grace wasn't here yet. Yes, it was. Because they were the covenant of grace that God had given to Abraham. The 22nd chapter of Genesis, when he swore by himself, said, "Blessed, I'll bless thee, I'll multiply thy seed." And these people were of that covenant. They were of grace. And what was spoken to them was grace. God didn't come to those slaves and say, "If you'll do this and this and this and this, then I'll bring you out." But God said, "I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to do it. I'm going to deliver you from the cruel bondage of Pharaoh. Whatever it takes, I'm going to bring you out and bring you to myself and bring you into the land that I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, because I am the Lord your God." And yet the Scripture says that Moses went to them and told them those things and said they hearkened not by reason of anguish of spirit and because of the cruel bondage. They wouldn't even listen to what Moses was saying. But now it's because of their anguish of spirit and their cruel bondage. And it's true that sometimes a person can be so much under the load that they can't hear the promise of God. So much under the burden of life and the bondage of things and so on that they cannot hear the promise of grace. And they can't see no way out because they can't see any way that they can do it, that they can work it out. But see, this was not a covenant between God and them that He speaks here. God said, "I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because I promised Abraham and I swore by myself and I'm going to do it for you." But they didn't hearken. But then what did Paul say about this same thing over in Hebrews? In Hebrews, he says, 4th chapter, 1st verse, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached," grace. The gospel preached is grace. The Apostle Paul said that a dispensation of grace is committed unto me for you. Praise God. He was to preach grace to them. He was to give grace to them. But how would He give grace to them? It wouldn't be said, "Well, I'm just going to give you a gift of grace." No, it would be by preaching the gospel. By preaching Christ, who He is, what He came to do, and that He did it when He hung on that cross for those that believe and trust in Him. Praise God, that's grace. That's grace. That's grace ministered to the hearer. And Paul said a dispensation of grace was given to him to give to the people. And so here Paul says the gospel was preached unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. What was missing was not grace, because the grace was what God had spoken to them. Grace was the promise. Grace was what was spoken to them. It wasn't works. It wasn't Hagar. It wasn't you've got to raise an army and deliver yourself. It wasn't that you've got to raise enough money to buy your freedom. God said, "I am going to deliver you. I am going to bring you out. I am going to bring you to myself. I am going to bring you in." Praise God. But notice this, the Scripture said, "But the word was not mixed with faith in them that heard it." Grace is a barren woman. Grace must be mixed with faith to produce anything. Grace must be mixed with faith to produce. Praise God. Hallelujah. Preach the gospel. Preach the grace of God. Preach Christ, who He is, what He came to do. He did it on the cross. That's grace. for whosoever believeth it. That's grace. But the mixing with faith is the believing of it. Praise God. Sarah's going to have a child. She's going to have a child. Listen to me. But Abraham mixes faith with the promise. He laughed for a while. I said he laughed for a while. And Sarah laughed for a while. But the Scripture says in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and I can't give you the verse, but by faith Sarah received strength to conceive. How did she do it? By faith the barren woman conceived. By faith she brought forth a child, a son, and by faith, because the Word was mixed with faith and grace. By grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Praise God. The Scripture said back in the analogy of the 4th chapter of Galatians, there's a Scripture from Isaiah 54 and 1 that's quoted in that analogy. For it is written, "Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate has many more children than she which hath an husband." I've looked at that over and over for many years. I've went back to Isaiah 54. See if it makes any difference on this side of the mountain. You know? "Sing, O barren that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited." Who's he talking to? He's talking to the barren woman. He's telling the barren woman to rejoice because you're going to have more children than those that have a husband. Of course, Sarah had a husband, but it was God that gave her a child. You understand, it was grace, it was faith that brought forth Isaac. Praise God, and out of Isaac, Jacob comes forth the 12 tribes and then all the descendants out of the 12 tribes and so forth. But better than that, praise God, Abraham believed God and became the father of them that believe. Hallelujah. And Sarah became the mother. The mother of us all. Praise God. Follow this. Follow this. And so here, when he takes from the 54th chapter of Isaiah, and Paul the Apostle brings it right into that analogy in the 4th chapter of Galatians about that barren woman. And again, "Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband." Praise God. It's talking about Sarah, but it's talking about grace. Because grace is a barren woman. Grace is the mother of every child of God. But grace has got to be mixed with faith. The Word must be mixed with faith. People think, "Well, I'm going to heaven by grace. You know, He's covering me. You know, I'm still a sinner." And the promise means nothing to them. Absolutely nothing to them. They're just going to cry, "Grace, grace, grace." It's going to do the work. But grace without faith in the promise will do absolutely nothing for anybody. Without faith in the promise, grace will do nothing. Praise God. Faith must be mixed with the Word. Amen. And doesn't matter. Now, we're talking about the things of salvation. Abraham was talking about having that child by Sarah. Moses talking about the children of Israel getting into the promised land. And that first generation never made it into the promised land. But why did they not enter in? It said because of their unbelief. Because the word wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. It's because of their unbelief. And you can sit here and assent unto the gospel of Christ and still be lost until the word, that grace, is mixed with faith in the heart. And when it's mixed with faith in the heart, it changes everything. It absolutely changes everything. And that's what he says, rejoice, break forth into joy, hallelujah, because a barren hath more children than she which hath an husband. Praise the Lord. And the children of grace, we'll see them one day, that multitude without number, that no man can number, the children of grace. But they mixed the word with faith. Praise God for grace to bring forth in them. Okay, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.